High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Came across rather a disturbing report in the Jerusalem Post. Excuse me, an Israeli study has shown that the Ashdod Beach, Tel Aviv Promenade, and Dado Beach will be flooded and disappear later this century as a result of rising sea levels. Joining us this morning is Simon Geer. He is, of course, a climatologist, a national authority on global warming and green issues. Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good morning.
So is there a reason to panic? I mean, are we going to lose some of our favorite beaches?
Not immediately, but we certainly are going to see an increase in storm events and certainly the magnitude of those things. So, you know, if the sea level rises by, I don't know, half a meter, on average, and in fact, probably not even that, you know, even 30 centimeters is enough to change the way that we would engineer, many of our seaside, infrastructure. And so on an average day, you wouldn't notice a particular difference. But when there is a storm surge, or when we had that situation, when was it? It was about 10 years ago, where there was it happened to be a spring tide, plus there was a storm out in the southern Indian Ocean, and that caused coastal damage all the way along that east coast. So those are the sort of events that you would see happening with greater frequency.
Mm. Is it really just about the beaches, or does a rising sea level have a larger impact on the whole ecosystem?
Well, it certainly would have an impact on things like estuaries and so on. But the ecosystem, you know, so a pristine estuary, if there is such a thing that exists any longer, right, would be able to adapt. You know, you might see quite devastating changes in the space of, you know, 10 to 15 years, but over the space of a generation or more, an estuary would adapt fairly easily. Things like dock infrastructure, you know, a lot of that would have to be re-engineered. And it's worth bearing in mind that well over half the world's population lives very close to the coast, sort of within easy traveling distance of the coast. So it is something for which we are very, very reliant on as a species.
Mm. The impact here in South Africa of this sort of thing, I mean, many of our coastlines are quite rugged in that we might not notice too much of an increase, but others obviously are more vulnerable.
Yeah, so if you've got a situation like the Wild Coast where you've got cliffs sort of just descending straight into the sea, an increase in sea level is not going to make any difference whatsoever. You know, it'll have very local ecosystem effects on tidal pools and so on, but you know, those ecosystems will move around and they'll be fine. But things like, you know, if you needed to add an extra meter onto your entire dock system in order for it to survive a 100-year storm, that's a massive engineering undertaking.
I'm just looking at our SMS line, and so many skeptics, people saying in the late 90s, we were told that by now entire islands, states will have disappeared, no nation has gone missing, aren't we just hysterical about this? This does seem to be a reaction or a resistance to actually having these conversations. Why do you think that is, Simon?
Human beings aren't very good at dealing with creeping change. So we're quite good at dealing with, you know, responding to massive changes as they happen, you know, stealth fires.
Yeah.
But the creeping change that we can't see and can't intrinsically measure on the individual human scale, we're very, very poor at dealing with. Add to that the massive increase in self-proclaimed experts, people who think they can do their own research on YouTube and Facebook and come up with something.
Wait, you mean we can't?
You can, you'll just be wrong 99% of the time. So there's been this rise of anti-science sentiment that started off probably as very much the provision of the climate change denialists. Obviously, it spread into things like vaccine denial and so on as well. But there is this really arrogant assumption by many people that they can figure things out better than people who are, you know, have PhDs and postdocs in the stuff and spend their entire lives studying it. In terms of what we thought in the 1990s, I mean, obviously our modeling has got better and better over time. And what they're probably referring to are the very worst case scenarios, that, you know, whereas we are very much on the middle path. So we're not on the low impact path. We're on the middle to high impact path. And if you go back to those early models, we're pretty accurate as to what we've been predicting.
And in fact, we have seen an increase in very, very dramatic, events, weather type events. We have seen that.
Yeah. And we've seen, you know, and also the way this works is that it doesn't, you know, you don't suddenly wake up one morning and the northern ice cap is gone. What happens is that every ecosystem comes under just slightly more stress than it needs to be. You know, every coral reef, every tundra is just under slightly more stress every season than it was the season before. And over time, that impact builds and builds and builds until suddenly you can see ecosystem collapse in some places.
Right, right. I'm just looking at the SMS line. I don't know why people get so angry. Why can't we have this conversation without you lot getting angry? This is what somebody writes, unsigned. Oh, so the plebs are resistant to change, right? Okay, so where's the sea level, let's say, in Bloberg now compared to where it was 30 years ago? Yes, Simon, I would imagine you'd have that information. Of every beach in every part of South Africa at your fingertips, right?
Well, let me just handle one thing. At no point said the plebs are resistant to
change. I know.
The oil companies are the ones who are to blame for this. Now, admittedly, the oil companies are providing us with cheap energy. So we don't get to sit on our couches and point fingers. But I am I get very, very irritated and angry when the focus of climate change response is on trying to get people to switch off light bulbs instead of trying to get governments and large corporations to change to more efficient energy sources. That's where this change has to come from.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But we can't have any of these changes. We can't push these changes unless we actually can have the conversations and understand what we're dealing with. And I just find it so interesting. It's not where this conversation was going to go in my mind. I wanted to hear about about some of the facts around it. But it is interesting that the reaction to it is quite aggressive. And that does make me wonder. But Simon, in terms of rising sea levels, the reason that would be the case is because of melting ice caps. What does, in of itself, what does that mean?
Okay, so well, it's a combination of two things. You've got ice caps melting into the ocean, which obviously increase the sheer volume of ocean that there is. You also have thermal expansion of the ocean. So as it heats up, so it increases in volume. There are a couple of confounding factors here. One of the things is that as we've had increased energy in the system, so a sort of global warming overall, it has tended to strengthen the southern Arctic vortex, so the Antarctic vortex, which flows around that South Pole. Mm. And that seems to be keeping that southern ice cap stable. But there's no doubt that we're losing ice hand over fist in the northern hemisphere. And one of the other things that could do is if some of the big Greenland glaciers collapse, that could flood that Atlantic with new water sources and, you know, of different temperatures and different salinity. And that could conceivably cut off that North Atlantic current that keeps places like England and Scotland largely ice free. So, you know, that big Gulf Stream current, if that gets disrupted, that could plunge Europe into something that looks a lot like an ice age, even though it is a global warming event. So this thing is far more complex than just losing some icebergs, yeah.
Absolutely, Simon Gere. Thank you. Sorry that our listeners weren't well behaved today, you guys, really. It is 7:30, Simon Gere. Thank you, as always, for chatting to us about this. I'm Howard Feldman. Your response, please, on 34519 or 0618951019.